Today on the show, we jump right into the action.
Get it, Kev? Because they jump out of the ship.
I got it.
It's really cool.
I get it.
Welcome to The Lost Cantina, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and themes behind our favorite galaxy far, far away. I'm Jaden.
And I'm Kevin. Hello, everybody. How are y'all doing?
Hello. We are here to talk about episode 7 of Ahsoka.
Yeah, this one's going to be a quick one.
This will be a very quick episode because there's not a lot to talk about in terms of lore.
Barely anything happens in this episode, but a lot happens in this episode.
Yeah.
It's all action.
Unfortunately, this is an audio medium talking about a visual format. So that's the challenge we're running into today. Is we're going to be like, we don't want to bore our listeners by being like, oh, look at that action, it's so cool,
guys. Did you see that?
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah.
That would be the entirety of the episode. But we'll do a quick little synopsis. We want to make sure we finish out the series correct. We got one more after this. We're excited to talk about it, especially the implications of the future of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, those are things we got stuff to talk about.
We got a lot to talk about.
But, of course, before we get into it, we're going to do that housekeeping stuff. Again, all of you know, we're going to do that brief synopsis, and then we're going to kind of go over whatever lore we have, some quotes and stuff in there. But for reals, though, if you have not watched the show, like, by this point, you're listening, I mean, come on. What are you doing?
It's quite foolish of you.
What are you doing? Making a Halo series and not playing Halo? What are you doing?
The Halo season 2 recap is coming soon for our lore party friends. Oh,
for the lore party peeps, we are planning on that. We're gonna take.
We're so behind. Life gets in the way.
Yeah, we've had a lot of life stuff go on in the last couple weeks, but yeah, it's been fun.
So if you'd like to email us about our lack of Star Wars and or Halo content, please feel free to email us at thelostcantinapod@gmail.com with your thoughts and maybe some episode ideas so we can, you know, talk about them.
We do have a couple in the bank ready to go, so don't worry. After this, we are going to have some more interesting episodes, non-recap related. But before we dive into it again, spoilers, if you haven't watched the episode, just go watch it. It takes like, 45 minutes?
Yep.
So before we get into it, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Now that we have had that break, you have been officially warned. Again, this is going to be hella fast. So just prepare. That timestamp is yes, you're not going crazy. It's not that long.
No. The part that I kind of want to dive into a little bit, though, is the beginning part, which I found is very interesting lore-wise. We get to see at the beginning of the episode, we're back on Coruscant, and Hera is facing a tribunal for her actions on the planet, including, you know, which she could basically be charged with going AWOL. And,
pretty much.
You know,
I mean, she did. That's what she did.
Yeah. She went AWOL, she misappropriated Republic resources and got two Republic officers killed. Two pilots dead, which for some reason we're not talking about that. And it seems to not get brought up. It's like, hey, you disappeared and two people died.
Yeah, I mean, what the big thing that you're going to talk about here, we did mention in a previous episode, For those who have not read Heir to the Empire or any of the Thrawn books, I really recommend it, myself included. Really recommend it. Because what Jaden's going to talk about here is still kind of the same thing that he talked about in his theory that he got ripped on TikTok. yeah, seriously, read those books or read a brief synopsis or whatever you want. I'll let Jaden really dive into this one because this is a lot.
So basically, Senator Zenos, which we all, you know, we all are getting the feeling that he is this big imperial dickhead spy, you know, working to undermine the New Republic from the inside. But I mean, to me, he seems more and more every episode like the new representation of a guy called Borsk Phalia from the Star Wars Legends. He was a Bothan. Many Bothans died to bring us this information. That guy. He's one of those guys. He basically was just a guy who wanted to collect power for himself at the expense of the New Republic. And I honestly think that's probably what they're going to do. That would be, at least to me, the more interesting version of what they, because it'd be very easy for him to be, oh my God, he's an imperial agent sneaking into the higher up of government. Like that's, we've seen that. We've seen that a lot.
Yeah.
So far, you know? So I would love to see him just be like, no, he's just a guy who was fooled.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I think it would just be more interesting.
There's a lot of parallels between this show and like Mandalorian and a bunch of the newer content for Star Wars. And there's a lot of comparisons between this stuff and the EU now. Like it at first there was, you know, not like EU was like, nah, we ain't doing that. We don't do that here in you know, Kennedy Lucasfilm land, but now it's
a nice extended universe you got here. It'd be a shame if somebody came in and heard it.
Yeah.
It'd be a shame if this was not. That's a nice Dash Rendar you got there. It'd be a shame if he wasn't canon anymore.
Hey, who's this guy? Because then you got this now. Now you got along comes this guy, Dave Filoni. He's coming in. He's got his hat on. He doesn't take his hat off indoors. He keeps it on. You know what I'm saying? This guy comes in. He's gonna.
I hear he's a Penguins fan. That guy.
Yeah, he's doing an inspection, if you will. You know what I'm saying? And he's from the union. He's doing an inspection, and he's gonna find out what we gotta fix here in this.
He's from the union. What union? The techno union.
There you go. But yeah, no. Jokes aside, there's a lot of stuff here that is now connected to the EU. But I know you and I have talked about it a lot. Characters are being replaced from the EU with newer characters, or they're not necessarily being replaced. They're being like, it's like placeholders almost, or adapted. They are going to fill the role.
They can't do Heir to the Empire 1-to-1 like that. You already have to accept that. So I think they're going to rework it a little bit. I mean, the most important player is still going to be there at the end of the day. So, Senator Zenos, like I think he has a line that I really thought was very cool from him. He just says Imperial Remnant, which everyone was like, ooh, that's EU stuff. That's EU stuff right there. And he just goes, Imperial Remnant is such a sensational term. And I was like, oh, you smarmy little, oh, you jerk sneaking it in there just with your politics.
Hey, you know, politics is Star Wars.
Star Wars is all about politics, man. And it's looking like at the last, you know, it's looking like Hera's actually going to be court-martialed for her actions. And all of a sudden, she is saved by a last-minute intervention by none other than C-3PO.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was not expecting. I was quite enjoying that. And he informs the council that Hera was in fact acting on secret orders from Senator Organa herself. Which is so funny that was like, yep, cool, that works. Everybody agrees. All right, we're all good. And it's like, that should not have worked. That's not how government works.
Yeah. I mean, even Mon Mothma's like, I can't do anything for you. Like, she wanted to help her, but she was like, I can't fucking do anything for you. And Leia's just like, yo, what up? Let me help you out there. And I think it's cool that Leia's involved. Like, she's aware of stuff. Which is, I think that's really cool. Like, granted, okay, like she's not going to show up, but like, I think that's cool that it's it's tied in a little bit more. And
it gets back to me again being like, I hate that we are choosing now to be reverent with these characters. It's like, just, you know, like, you, like, just recast. I know it's blasphemous to say, but like, if this character is so important, they would show up. Leia would show up to this meeting herself. She would not send C-3PO.
No, I agree. I agree. But still, it was really cool.
It was great. No, I loved having the cameo. It's just, anytime that guy waddles onto screen, I love it.
Yeah. So the next scene is with Ahsoka. Now, Ahsoka is training on her ship with not Hu Yang, but with Anakin Skywalker. But it's not actually Anakin in terms of the Force Ghost stuff or the World Between Worlds. It is a training hologram that she got from him way back when Clone Wars stuff. She's had them all this time, and she's been using them to train. I think that's great.
It's really cool because it parallels the dialogue that we hear a lot of, like, from, I think, Tales of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's my job to train you. And it's just so cool that they matched up the wording of it. And I like the idea that she has, I think she says she has 20 of these. So, like, we have 20.
She's got a bunch.
So we have 20 possible cameos, or like 20 lessons that Anakin can teach her in any future series that she shows up in.
Yeah. And Hayden's back, of course, like, we see him. And he's in his Clone Wars armor, which is great.
It's a little, I feel like, I don't know, we got that great moment of him in the, was it episode 5? Like, as the Force, whatever he was. It kind of feels weird that this is the last time we see him talking.
Yeah,
he's in a hologram form. It's kind of weird. It's kind of, I don't know, anticlimactic to be like, oh yeah, there he is.
Well, don't forget, last time we hear him speak, we're not going to talk about anything else, but last time we hear him speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool because even the speech that he gives to her, like, while he's training her, is very Clone Wars era-esque. And that's really fun to hear more of that. And just seeing him in the character is great, but also seeing him in the character in that era, because we didn't really, you know, never get to see that. It's really fun. Like, it is very enjoyable to see him play that version of Anakin that he technically never really got to play.
Yeah. Which is so funny because, like, my like, love of Anakin Skywalker comes entirely from the Clone Wars, I think, because that was the version we saw the most.
I know. Yeah. But it's just really awesome. It's a nice scene to see her, like, kind of still, she still holds those trainings. And, you know, I mean, technically, if you want to consider it, she could technically be considered a Jedi Master right now. And if anything, like, she's still following the trainings from her old master. Like, I think that's kind of cool.
Well, I'm wondering if, like, given the speech that Hu Yang, like, you know, like, when Hu Yang is talking to her, it makes me feel like he hasn't seen these before. And if they've been traveling together for a while, maybe she just hasn't been using them. And ever since that experience, it's maybe made her become nostalgic for training with Anakin.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see that a lot. I also think that it's kind of cool to see Hu Yang be like, whoa, Anakin Skywalker, you know, he's
fanboying a little bit.
Of course he is. I mean, we all know Anakin Skywalker is the absolute shit. So, like, anytime he comes up, he's famous. Like, that's the thing is he's famous.
Yeah.
Everybody knew who he was. Him and Obi-Wan were famous.
I hate to say it, but it makes me wish that the Clone Wars were, like, 2 years longer just to give us more, I guess, time for that legend to grow a little bit, because it's only 3 years long, the whole conflict, and it's like, that's a little, but the amount of stuff that they got into, that's a short time.
True.
So after this great exchange, they exit hyperspace inside of the Purrgil, and all of a sudden the Purrgil starts, like, I guess, like, screaming and, like, crying.
Freaking
and, like,
out.
Bumping and rocking. And so they exit, and they find out that the Purrgil have flown directly into a minefield that was left right in front of their exit vector from hyperspace, which is amazing. Like, it's a great sequence.
How rude.
Yeah, it's so rude. Which to me tells me that Thrawn has been watching that hyperspace exit lane, and he knows, like, these Purrgil must come all the frickin' time, because he knows where they come out. And there's a great sequence that we get from this where, like, Ahsoka is avoiding the mines, and then she's also avoiding those mercenary fighters. Those mercenary fighters also come after her, and they fly through the Purrgil, the debris field that's made up of Purrgil bones, which is such a spooky.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool and spooky.
It's very spooky. And again, I think it adds to the, like, mystery, but also mysticalism of these Purrgil. They're just so cool.
Yeah. And
we don't have a creature like that, really, that has that mystery to them. Granted, we're still learning more about them, but the more we learn, it's like, it's just like the Force. The more we're like, what the fuck is happening here? It's really cool. So back on the planet, we see Thrawn and his ship.
This is your favorite scene in the episode, I think.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. 100%. You know. So Thrawn's on the planet, right? And his ship is being like loaded, and he's getting informed that a Jedi, they walk in, they're like, sir, a Jedi ship has been spotted. And he is handed information on like the person who, you know, is supposedly coming, and he requested it, and he goes, okay, I need to know about this Ahsoka person. And he discovers that he's like, who's her master? He's looking at it, and he's just like, wait, who's her master? And they're like, Anakin Skywalker. And the look on his... So Thrawn doesn't look scared normally. We've never really seen Thrawn scared. He's been like, oh, shit. But the look on this motherfucking blue dude's face, man, he is like, the fuck?
Concern. Immediate concern.
Yeah, he's like, to him, it's like any other Jedi would be like, whatever. But the apprentice of General Anakin Skywalker, he's like, uh-oh. He knows this is actually going to be a problem and throw a wrench in his
plan. Yes.
And so he, like, the look of shock on his face is so fucking great. And he now knows, you know, who he's dealing with. So he automatically orders his fighters to pull back and wait. Because he's like, I'm not going to commit forces to this shit. He's like, nah. Yeah. She'll fuck all this stuff up. He's like, I have to play that. He instantly changes his plan in his head, which is really
immediate tactics. Any other Jedi shows up, he's like, all right, yep, follow him through the asteroid field, destroy him, come back home. We're good to go. But like, he goes, oh, this is that guy's student? Oh, he taught her everything then. Oh, shit. Yeah. Hold on a minute.
And here's the thing. Like, he studied Anakin Skywalker. He knew it's... I'm going to go with the comics. It's been confirmed that he knows Darth Vader was Anakin Skywalker. So, like, he knows how Anakin adapted as Darth Vader. And he knows that, like, Ahsoka could easily adapt similarly.
Yeah.
And he knows how Anakin Skywalker adapted, too. So he's like, ah, shit. So he's got to adapt. And
they're showing Jedi Padawans and apprentices. They treat them almost like children. Like this is the child of Anakin Skywalker.
Essentially. Well, I mean, that's essentially, they have a family tree, if you will, apprentice, master. I mean, it's essentially that.
For example, like Mace Windu is technically the grandfather of Kanan Jarrus. Like he trained Kanan's master.
Yeah. So we get this really cool quote where he says, if she's anything like her master, she will be unpredictable and quite dangerous. And he's not wrong.
No.
So that's the other thing, too. He doesn't want to be too predictable. Because now he's like, okay, my plans may be too predictable for her to figure out, that's really what it is. Because she kind of automatically knew, okay, hide here, do this, do that. And so like, he was like, ah, shit, she's going to figure this out real quick.
Yep. So when the forces pull back, Ahsoka and Huyang, they do a classic Star Wars, hide in the debris field. They fly up to a bigger piece, land on it, and shut down. And you know, they're like, how the hell could someone know that we were coming? Like, how is that possible that someone could know that we were on our way? And that's they're wondering how Morgan could know that they were coming. Mm-hmm. And that's immediately when Ahsoka realizes we're not dealing with Morgan Elsbeth's plan anymore. We are dealing with someone else.
Yeah.
Thrawn's here. And it's like the worst thing that could happen. Like, oh, crap, it is Thrawn.
So Ezra and Sabine are finally showing up in the episode, and they're traveling together with those little turtle-like aliens in a convoy. So they're basically essentially nomads. They go around the planet, and they'll make camp for maybe like a day or a week, and then they're like,
"It's all right, it's we're really old West wagons,
yeah,
crossing the plains." We're gonna talk about that in a minute.
It's really cool, and they're really
little
cute,
space house on the prairie.
Yeah, they love him, though. They think Ezra is, like, the shit. They're like, oh, this guy's great. And so, finally, Sabine kind of spills the beans on what has happened.
in the galaxy at large, but she keeps leaving out.
Yeah.
She keeps leaving out one important detail.
Yeah. So she basically tells him, you know, like, because I would say it's kind of common knowledge now for the people in the Star Wars universe. Like, okay, Darth Vader's dead.
Yep.
And the Emperor's dead. And the Death Star 2.0 or kind
which,
of.
Which, did you catch the subtle joke that they put in that line, by the way?
No, sure.
Ezra says, the Emperor's dead. And Sabine says, that's what people say.
Oh, oh, fuck. fuck.
That's a writer who did not like Rise of Skywalker. That is a writer who Rise of Skywalker, just sliding a little dig in there.
But again, we can always also talk later on about, like, did everybody find out who Darth Vader actually was? I know that's a little point of contention amongst the fandom, because that's the other thing. That's why Luke was alone, because, you know, he knew that people would like try to fuck with the funeral.
It's a really dumb. I actually had this conversation with a friend recently, and I'll get into it now. The whole reason that Leia is like an outcast in The Force Awakens is because someone basically cancel cultures her for her dad being Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And I had a friend who is my friend's Aaron. Shout out to Aaron, where he said, well, it makes sense. Why would you want to work with the child of Hitler, of Space Hitler? And I said, it's a big difference between Space Hitler's daughter and Space Hitler's daughter who helped kill Space Hitler.
Well, hold on.
I don't understand how people. Hitler.
He wasn't even. That was the Emperor.
Oh my God! No, I made that joke. I said, if anything, he is Space Himmler.
God. Oh my God.
And but, it's like, listen, Leia was integral to the rebellion from like the age of like 12.
Yeah.
Like she fought the Emperor. It makes no sense at all why this someone would be like, yeah, well, your dad was evil, so we hate you now. You're canceled. It's like,
yeah, it would make no
sense. I helped kill him.
She's one of the reasons why he died. And her brother is the one who, like, killed the Emperor. Like,
yeah.
Helped kill the Emperor. Well, not kill the Emperor. Helped kill the Emperor. Convinced dad to kill the Emperor. Whatever.
At the time, you know, semantics. The two of them were heavily involved in killing him and forming the New Republic. It's just so stupid to me that someone could go 30 years. Yeah, but your dad was mean. We don't like
the Skywalker family saved the entire galaxy.
Correct. And it's ridiculous that all of a sudden some senator has enough pull to be like, nah, you're canceled, president of the galaxy. Very
stupid.
Dumb.
But anyway, so yeah, they have a conversation and she just doesn't. She doesn't spill the beans on how she got there or like the full story on how she got there.
Which is it's kind of weird how she could leave that part out. I think he keeps trying to like get her to be like, so how are we going home? How are we going home? And she's like, don't worry about it.
I think he's like just really excited to see her. And he's just like, okay, he knows that there's something she's not telling him, but he's not gonna, you know,
he's not gonna press because he's just happy to see her.
Yeah. He doesn't want to ruin the moment.
I kind of like that they're playing this as brother sister and not romance.
Yes, thank God.
I very much like, because there was always like an implication in the show, but I'm like, it's a different dynamic. I kind of like seeing a brother sister relationship in Star Wars. Not everybody has to.
I like seeing platonic stuff, not just romance. I mean, I enjoy rom coms. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I love romance, but I do like that they can portray, you know, a platonic relationship. Like
platonic friendship is very, really awesome. It's good to see.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The next sequence is what I like to call the Find My iPhone segment.
Oh my God. Okay.
Because the Thrawn asks the witches of Dathomir to locate Ahsoka. And Ahsoka is trying to locate Sabine using the Force. And Baylan Skull is also looking for Sabine, and they kind of just like,
remember, it's Skull.
Sorry, Baylan Skull. They all kind of like locate each other at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the funnier one is that like Ahsoka uses the Force. The witches of Dathomir use, you know, their dark evil magic.
Yeah.
Baylan kind of just walks up and goes, "Oh yeah, there she is." Oh yeah, look right over there.
Oh hey, there it is.
Hey, look at that.
He doesn't need to use Find My iPhone or anything like that. He's just like,
he's like, where the fuck is? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, he really is the best character in the show. I'm sorry, but he really is.
He really is, dude. And I'm very curious of what they're gonna do now that his actor has passed away. As soon as they locate, each other, the kind of the rush begins. Like, Ahsoka locates where Sabine is on the planet just in time for Thrawn to send his forces in to attack them in the debris field, and it flushes them out and forces them down towards the planet.
So Shin and Baylan prepare for the attack, but Baylan says he won't attack.
Yeah.
So he says, your ambition drives you in one direction. My path lies in another. And then he says, impatience for victory guarantees defeat. And that is very Jedi of him to say, have patience.
Watching this scene, it made me really love the Baylan Skull school of force usury, because
it's great.
It's this fun mixture. Like even just looking at Shin, she's got the Jedi Padawan braid on.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he's like, nah, we're evil, but like, I'm gonna make you wear the Padawan braid. Like, he's still like taking stuff that from the Jedi Temple that he adds into his new form of teaching of power grabbing.
Hot take. I don't think he's evil.
I mean, the New Republic soldiers that he choked and gutted would disagree with you on that, but
fuck authority. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. Fuck authority. I'll play that song right now, Pennywise. I don't give a shit. Fuck authority. I don't think he's evil. We'll get into it in episode 8, but I will give you the hint of I don't think he's evil. Are there any Destiny players here? Anybody play Destiny? Anybody play Forsaken? Anybody
know what happens? So no.
Anybody know what happens to Crow before he becomes Crow? All right, I'm just gonna leave it at that. I'll let you think about it. Okay.
Sorry, next. I didn't read the Wikipedia page after playing the game for 40 hours and not finding out. Anyways,
all right. That story.
Thrawn,
don't even
sends he gets informed of where Ezra and Sabine are, and he's like, "All right, perfect. We know where everybody is." So he sends reinforcements as the Raiders begin to chase Ezra and Sabine in their little pod things, and we get like a really cool Wild West style of like wagon chasing where they're shooting their pistols out the wagon doors, and I just love it. And also, I love that the drop ships that Thrawn sends out are the ones from Rebels. I think that's so cool that they've finally adapted those to live action, and they look
finally
so good.
It looked so cool.
Ahsoka actually can see them. At the same time, like, she's, you know, heading towards them with the ships chasing her, so they can see them from above. And there's this great shot of like the Old West thing, like the wagon ships. They form a circle, a defensive circle.
Yep.
And Ezra, you know, he's like, he tells him, like, hey, stay inside, like, I'll handle this, you know. And Ahsoka is like, all right, I gotta get down there. And there's this cute little interaction with her and Hu Yang where she's like, all right, get me low enough. He's like, what happened last time? She's like, oh, it won't happen like last time. And she jumps from the ship.
It's badass.
It's so cool. But it just made me go, what the fuck happened last time? What was wrong with last time when you jumped out of the... Why are you jumping out of perfectly flyable ships? Just land them.
Yeah.
But she jumps out of the ship and she comes face to face with Mr. Baylan.
Hell yeah.
And he doesn't even seem mad. If you remember earlier in an episode, she was like, are you, you know, like you almost seem sad. He's like, there's so few Jedi left. Like, he was just kind of like,
yeah.
I didn't expect to see you again. And she says, disappointed? And he's like, no.
He's like, nah, actually. This is going to be great. Round two.
And they begin their combat again. But honestly, this time, Ahsoka seems a little bit more confident in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, honestly, I hate to say this, but Baylan had an advantage when he fought her last time because she was conflicted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was focused. She wasn't focused on the fight. She was focused on destroying the thing and keeping Sabine alive and defeating him. It's like, no, she is solely focused on fighting you right now, Baylan.
Well, yeah. And like he can tell, like when he's fighting her, he's like, oh, shit, she's fighting differently. And I think it's sick. But I mean, then we have Ezra and Sabine are also trying to fight. And Sabine tries to give Ezra his lightsaber. And he's like, nah, homie, I'm good. And she's like, huh? And he just says, I gave it to you. And he goes, the Force is my ally. I don't need a blaster. And it's like, oh my God. But he proceeds to get a blaster from a stormtrooper.
He does later when the stormtroopers show up.
He does take a blaster. But they fight the Raiders. And like, so Sabine, she gets a lightsaber rematch with Shin and she's like holding her own. But then you get like Ezra and he's fighting like Kung Fu style.
It's so cool.
It's sick. He's using the Force, but he's like hand-to-hand combating with the Force. Like kind of like in Rogue One, you know, the Force is with me. Like it's really badass.
This like Jedi Kung Fu shit.
It's like almost pacifism to a degree.
Yes.
Because he's not like making killing blows with a lightsaber, right? He's just like disarming.
Have you ever watched the anime Vinland Saga? It's a lot like that. There's a character in there who's like, he's a Viking, but instead of fighting, he does his fighting moves, but he doesn't have the daggers that he normally has in his hands.
Yeah.
And it's very cool.
What's funny is when the stormtroopers do first arrive, he's very Ezra, right?
He's so good, dude.
He's like, you want to take us prisoner, right? Like, come on, you want us? And they're like, no, we're going to kill you. And he's like, wait, what? But so yeah, the fight's really.
It just shows the difference between like rebels, Imperial troops, and like Thrawn's. We've been here for 10 years, putting up with your shit.
Yeah, it's so funny,
they've spent 10 years chasing this little shit named Jabba the Hutt around this planet.
So Ezra does this really fucking cool thing where he does it just like Kylo Ren. He stops a lightsaber. Like with his hand, right?
Yeah.
And I know both Ray does it too, but like he like stops the lightsaber that Shin's gonna hit him with, and you could see the lightsaber kind of move with the Force. Like you see like the little trails of
it's like trying really hard to
fucking cool.
Yeah.
And like you think he's gonna get hit and he's just like whoosh, and he's powerful. He's like very powerful with the Force now. And it shows because also I will say this, like sometimes people will use the Force in their lightsaber swings, right? And clearly she was. And he, like, because of how much Force energy, he doesn't look like he's, like, barely breaking a sweat. But the lightsaber is literally, like, melting, if you will.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, the actual saber part's, like, kind of melting behind his Force energy. It's fucking sick. It's just cool. It's a dope fight scene. Watch the fight scene. I'm not going to describe the fight scene anymore to you because clearly this is an audio thing. But, But yeah, so Ahsoka ends up, you know, escaping from Baylan, we'll say that. Escaping, if you will.
This fight ends in a draw. I'm sure there's gonna be more fights to come if they do a season two of the show. You know?
Yeah, they end up defeating Shin and everybody just kind of reunites.
Basically,
like, yay!
It's kind of cool because like in the fight with Baylan, both Ahsoka and Baylan's objective is not to defeat the other person.
Yeah.
Baylan just wants to move on. He wants to go finish whatever the hell he's trying to do. And Ahsoka is trying to get to Shin. And like halfway through the fight, they both kind of realize it.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, I'm good. And they kind of mutually disengage. Like, like Ahsoka leaves, but like Baylan does not pursue where he very easily could have.
Baylan earlier, when he said he's like going on his own path, he's leaving Shin. Like he's bouncing. He's going to go do his own fucking thing. And we don't know what that is.
We
have ideas. We'll talk about it next episode.
We'll talk about it.
But, like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff behind this to where, you know, we don't know.
Yeah,
we just don't know.
And we should mention, too, when Ahsoka joins the fight, the Imperials, they retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Shin. But Shin does not go with them.
Yeah.
She runs in a different direction from them, which is interesting because her whole thing was she wanted to join the Empire. So why the hell didn't she go with?
And again, because Baylan Skoll is so important and because I've mentioned it so many times here, I'm going to mention it again. Matt Bidell, I'm going to throw him up there for those who got the camera. The man should be Baylan Skoll, okay? I'm not going crazy here. Just look the fucking guy up. He's brilliant as an actor. He's the same height, same build. He can do the accent. I mean, the dude is fucking sick. Like, Kathleen Kennedy, I know you cast this stuff.
Yep.
Cast the man. Just do it, please. Then cast me in something too. Please.
But yeah, no, I think the biggest thing here to take away from that is that Shin and Balin are now on separate paths. Yes. That honestly, when I look at it, neither paths really have to do with too much with anything going on right now. Because like Shin is just, I think for her, her path is to just grow. It's not to defeat Ahsoka, blah, 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 whatever. It's not, yeah. None of that shit really.
I think she'll be
path.
A player.
Yeah,
but I don't
exactly.
Think, I don't think it'll be necessarily what her, what she thought her original journey was going to be.
Correct. So yeah, they reunite and well, that's the episode. Wow, look at that timestamp. So much shit happened and it's like no, barely anybody talks. It's not, it's
yeah.
Just a long episode.
What did you think of the episode though?
I mean, I'll tell you that after this ad break. How's that?
No, tell me now.
No, ad break.
God damn, bitch. Fine.
We need to not make any money.
We made money?
Okay, now we're back. So
that's where you got the Bentley. Those ad please. Breaks.
I fucking wish, dude. Not actually a Bentley. I want a DeLorean. Basically, yeah.
For the cocaine, right?
All right. All right.
So, well, Kevin, what was your thoughts on the episode?
So here are my thoughts on the episode. I loved all the choreography. It looked fucking sick. I think watching somebody who's a Force user fight in a different way was really fun.
Underrated.
You don't get that. You know what I mean? It's like different. And no. I like that. I like seeing different shit. I don't want to see the same old fucking crap. Sometimes I want to see something different. And I like that.
Yep.
I don't really care for jumping out of a perfectly good plane unless you have a parachute for fun. But, you know, that's just me. I'm not allowed
Ahsoka
to go skydiving.
Ahsoka keeps doing it, though. She keeps jumping out of planes.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I thought it was good. I really enjoyed it. I don't want to say it felt like a filler episode, but, like, it kind of did because, like, not a lot in terms of lore happened for me. But, like, it was just action stuff, which is
it
cool.
Was,
you know, it was cool.
It was a necessary season, like, episode before the finale. Like, hey, we got to get all these players together. Like,
yeah,
the
yeah,
crew
yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
united now, and they're gonna go try to take on Thrawn and stop him.
Yeah, obviously, again, I love the audio. I love the set design. I love, like, all the props. I love the wardrobe. Like, I think they nailed this a lot, like, really
yeah.
well. I loved the practical effects for all of the little alien dudes. Like, there were so many practical effects in this episode. It's just a whole show that it really makes the show a lot
they're
more
we're living in an age where they perfectly combine puppet and CGI together, and I
yeah.
think it's incredible.
Yeah. It's absolutely incredible.
I love the detail too on the Thrawn soldiers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're just that design is just so freaking sick. And I really do. I hope that like when he gets into the galaxy at large, if he gets to the galaxy at large, excuse me, because we don't know. If I hope that like we see like regular stormtroopers and like those guys are like their commanders. Like every one of them
yeah.
gets like a legion of troopers that he's now commanding.
Again, I loved seeing Anakin Skywalker again.
Yeah, Anakin in the Clone Wars armor was so cool.
The other thing, though, is Thrawn. That scene with him being like, that was great. When he
that was
fucking
great.
Realized, I mean, it's been memed like crazy, but like, maybe I'll make a TikTok video out of it, of us talking about it, but I don't know. It's great. I love it. Also, sorry for the lack of TikTok on it. I've been like super fucking busy. I was in New York. I was like running around. It's been rough.
Renaissance man,
but
traveling man, Kevin over here.
I know. I'm going to be traveling to Planet Comic Con in March in Kansas City. For those who want to maybe like find me, I will be around. I am going to go meet the Emperor. So that'll be cool.
That's
right?
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to go meet the Emperor. It's the 25th anniversary. Obviously, a shameless plug for a con I'm going to. But yeah, like if anybody wants to go to that con, you should all go because it's going to be fucking sick. The guest list is insane. Crazy long, too. But yeah, so I loved it. I thought it was great. Good episode.
I think the only the question that is still not answered right now, though, with those Thrawn troops is whether or not they are human or dead, And I have a feeling we'll get an answer to that next episode. Hint, hint, I've seen it already.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe we'll find out.
But I don't know. What could they be?
And with that, we hope you enjoyed this episode, for as short as it is. And if you did, please take a second to rate it and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your amazing podcasts called The Lost Cantina. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Instagram and all the socials at The Lost Cantina. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Ta-da.